Amen. I feel ready to preach. Turn over there to James chapter 4. What is your life? All I got to, as I said on Sunday morning, was adultery and fornication. But I want to get into some other things. What is your life? The whole book of James is talking about the tongue. It tells us there the tongue is an unruly evil. It's set on fire of hell. It guides, as the rudder guides these big ships, so the tongue guides the whole body of a human man. The Bible said our tongues are set on fire of hell. No man can tame the tongue. And then the last chapter talks about the effectual fervent prayer. That talks about the tongue. Availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need people that live right when they pray and come to God. Over in the Old Testament, some of the prophets, it says they can pray all they want. I won't listen to them. I won't hear their prayers. These people in this day and age act like God listens to everybody's prayers. He's too busy to listen to some of these devil's prayers. Amen! It's against His nature to listen to foolish prayers. Frivolous, selfish prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's the use of the tongue. What about praising God? What is your life? Well, let's read these verses here in chapter number 4. Did I even tell you the chapter? Chapter 4. And let's go from verse 11 through verse 17, but we really ought to go through chapter 5, verse 1 at least to see where it's going there. All right, stand with me please again. That's good for us. Verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves therefore in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Everybody else trying to lift themselves up and God's shoving them down. Amen. Just humble yourself and God will lift you up. God loves humility. He hates pride. Verse 11, follow with me, please. "Speak not evil one to another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Now look at this. "Go to now, ye rich, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year." You say that? See that? Today or tomorrow. We'll go today or tomorrow. We will go into such a city, we'll go into a certain city, and continue there a year. And buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? And then he tells what your life is. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. And you, what does it say here? Ye have heaped treasure together for the last day. Shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Then it goes on. But I want you to get verse 14. Read that with me, please. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Father, bless, we pray, the word tonight. In Jesus, all-powerful and all-glorious name. Dear Lord, every time I go by that mosque, I despise the name of Mohammed. And I think especially of the glorious name of Jesus Christ, my risen Lord. And I thank Thee for Him. And that I'm saved by His grace. I pray those people would come out of darkness into the light, but I pray they would not pollute our country with their false religion and their false gods and their idols and their wickedness. and they're praying five times to the wrong one. Our Father, have thy way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What is your life? Is it a life that's all full of fleshly things? Pleasures? Is it like these people? Here's what we're going to do. You make plans, and we're going to go to a certain city. Today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain city, and we're going to stay there a year, and we're going to buy and sell and get gain. That's the problem with America. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Our Lord Jesus said that. Look with me over there to Luke's Gospel, please. I can find it here. Luke chapter 11, 12. Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, this is Luke chapter 12, verse number 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Jesus talking here, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And Jesus said unto them, and he said unto them, listen, this is Jesus talking now, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes on and explains that. Our life, what is your life? It is not a life of things. Things are not important to God. Jesus said, life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which a man possesseth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Our people are things crazy. And they're crazy about everything but God and His Word. And they ought to be as the hart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after Thee, O God. We ought to just ask God for His power, for His presence. What could be more precious than the presence of God? The power of God on your life. Go to now, ye rich men. What is your life? Well, your life ought to be a life of prayer. What is your life? Do people think of you and think of a prayer warrior? John Scott's coming in a little while. Well, I think of a Bible memorizer. I think of a fellow who was faithful every time he was here. I thank God when Pastor Hammond says, and that he tithed regularly, John Scott, and wasn't a big mouth about it. He just kept writing his checks right. Instead of robbing from God. Are you a God robber? God will get you. Once you know to do right, don't do it. You'll be found out, friend. And it won't have to be Pastor Hammond's. God has found you out. When people preach, when evangelists come in here, our dear brother Stevens came here and we didn't even let him preach on Sunday, but that's all right. He did all right on Monday morning. He wasn't up here 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, and I was convicted from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And everybody else here who was here in that little group on Monday morning felt the same way. Well, why don't you have the power of God on you like brother Stevens has the power of God on him? Why don't you become a mouthpiece for the Almighty? Why don't you be so filled with the Spirit of God, you ladies included, that when you speak with love and compassion and tenderness and power, for wisdom comes out of your mouth instead of foolishness like others. I think about, I'm going to somehow get that tape for everybody and get Mrs. Buhorn to make a dozen or maybe 30 or 40, 50 tapes, a tape for every family on Mrs. Clark, who started the Pacific Garden Mission. I listened to it three times on the way down there to South Carolina. And I wanted to listen to it the next time. I had tears in my eyes every time. They were well-to-do people. Her husband, they always had much money. And in real estate, that's how she met her husband-to-be, Colonel Clark. she was signing and getting some real estate. And then he said, well, we've both enjoyed this so much, why don't we just see each other again? And within a year or so, they were married. But they still, she said she lived two lives. She went to Chicago and she said I'd always go to my teas, you know, and all the fancy things. And then she said, but then I lived two lives there, because she said I'd get my old street clothes down and go down in the slums of Chicago in my everyday clothes. And she said, I wanted to see those drunks saved. So I wanted to start a mission. I wanted my husband to start the mission. She said, I still kept my money, though. She said, I'd already been saved. She told about how she got saved. And her husband, he'd been saved before he met her, too. But their money hadn't got saved yet. They didn't put it that way. I just put it that way. But she had to pray that God would convince Colonel Clark that business transactions were not as great as seeing drunkards get saved. And find direction! And in the tape, she said, if we were going to rate my husband from the best preacher to the worst preacher, she said, all that knew him would rate him lower than the worst. But she said he had such a compassion. And all he had was a table and a chair at the mission, and 40-some benches there, 40-some seats. No backs on the seats. A potbelly stove to keep it warm in those cold Chicago days of snow and blizzards. And she said, oh, but my husband would get up there, and he loved John 3:16. She said, we had scripture verses on the wall. Thou God seest me. And over here, a verse about the Lord lifting your burdens. She said those rowdy men had come in there and start acting up. And if they got too bad, Mrs. Clark would get up from the platform and go back and put her arms around the drunk and say, now you know we've got to behave, because Jesus wants to speak to you about your soul. We've got to behave and listen. Mrs. Clark was in charge of either having the men thrown out or not. And they said in this whole thing, I can't give you the whole thing, but finally they were giving up their jewelry, their nice jewelry that were keepsakes from Mama and Grandma. She wanted to give those. So she said, well, honey, she said, do you think that maybe the Lord allowed all those mushrooms to grow in our house? They couldn't pay the bill one time, you know. So she said, we've got to pray all night. And she said, now would you please, George, would you please pray out loud? It will encourage me. And so he's praying out loud and prayed and prayed. She said, we prayed till morning. Prayed all night. We had to pay, or we'd lose our mission. And it had to be open every day. We couldn't go close it for one day. And she said, oh, George, in the morning she looked out at her yard, at her house. She said, George, it's a miracle. There's mushrooms all over our yard. Mushrooms everywhere, all over our yard. Come and see, George. And they ran out there and they sold all these mushrooms and paid the bills. And the wonderful thing is that they were out of season, so they brought a great price. They never grew in that yard before, and they never grew in that yard again. But they were there then! And she said, honey, do you think that maybe after this, she said, do you think that maybe the Lord would want us to give our jewelry? Oh, and Colonel Clark said to his wife, oh, honey, those are precious things to you. Those are your keepsake from your loved ones. And I don't know, do you really want to do that? She says, oh, I think that the Lord showed us by the mushrooms that we ought to do that. He said, well, I'm so glad you think so. I've been thinking about that a long time. And I'll give my watch, and I'll give all my keepsakes. And she said, as they went down there and gave all those things, and they brought a good sum of money because they were wealthy people. And she said, oh, we were so happy that we could give everything to Jesus. And before she died, she was every night for 35 years in the Pacific Garden Mission. Until at the age of 80, she fell down at her house and broke her leg, her ankle. Every night for 35 years speaks of faithfulness for dirty, stinky drunks and wayward women. I'm telling you, what is your life? You know what I sensed with that? It was a life of sacrifice. Yieldedness. What is your life? Is your life a life of sacrifice? Is it a life of prayer? Is it a life of Bible memorizing, meditating? What do people think of you? I mean, it's so nice to admire John Scott, but what about you? What do they think of you, young man? At school, what do they think of you in your school? Do they think that you're going to be the preacher? Or are you the little rebel? They'll find you out. It won't take long if they know that you believe in prayer, young man. Or all you care about is foolishness. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. What are people going to remember you for? Your faithfulness? Well, if you ever die before me, Brother Hugh, I'll remember that you're the nicest dressed man that I've ever seen in church. And I think it's nice to dress up when you come to the Lord's house. You're a good example of some other people. And he's here too. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. After he got saved, bless his heart, he came in the room over here. He wouldn't mind me telling this. And he said, I got all this worked up here. He says, I want to make sure, are my finances right? He says, I want to make sure I tithe from the day I got saved. I said, it'll be all right. I think it'll be all right. I'm no good at figures. I think I said, Brother Hugh, you better talk to Pastor Hammonds about that. But I tell you, I was excited that he wanted to do what was right. From the day he got saved. Wasn't that wonderful? Only God can do that. Amen. Some of you have robbed from God so long, you'll never be able to pay it all back, hardly. Amen. Well, that's a blessing, amen. You either bless people or you know, what do you think about people? If you died tomorrow, what would they say about you? Would they say you were a faithful mother? A praying mother, faithful to your husband? In one of those tapes, we listened to others as well, and it said, the man said, well, you're supposed to obey me. He was drunk. And he said to his wife, you're supposed to obey me. And he said it many times. They better keep putting those tapes out too. Because a wife is to obey her husband. Amen! I tell you, isn't it just like the tape that was the one that started the whole thing ought to be the one that touches your heart the most and causes you to weep? Show sacrifice? She said they walked in a cold sleet. They had to walk 2 miles in Chicago. If you've ever walked in Buffalo or Chicago, they're the same terrible places to be in the wintertime. I've come out from the swimming pool at Hutch Tech and my hair was all wet and just... whew, freeze just like that. I wondered, I didn't have any whiskers. Hadn't even shaved until I went in the Navy. Didn't even shave. I was just a little baby boy, I guess. I'm telling you, cold. I've been in that wind, and you could just lean on the wind. I'm telling you, so strong. Chicago, you know what I'm talking about. Buffalo. Chicago's called the Windy City. The Windy City. I tell you, I was in boot camp at 15 below zero, about froze one of my big toes off. It didn't thaw out for 3 months. Numb. Thought we were cattle or something out there. Those company commanders. We were humans. But here they had to go 2 miles from this mission. Every night, 2 miles, and it was a sleet. Just a terrible. She said we had to hang on to each other to get there. When we got there, she said, old Lucifer spoke to me and said, is it all worth it just for a bunch of drunks? And she said, yes, it's worth it. It'd be worth it for just one of them. She said, old Lucifer got out of there and didn't bother her about that area of her life anymore. Not saying the rest, but that area, he just got gone for good. Yes, it's worth it, serve the Lord. What is your life? The Bible says your life is a vapor. You think of this every time you put your little cup into the microwave. Or if you still do it like my mother used to do it, I got her a microwave. Now she's doing it in the microwave. Just when I went back last time. She used to have the little tea kettle there, and the steam coming out. Now she uses that cup, and you stick it in there to get some water ready for coffee or for soup or something. And then you take it out and you look and you see that steam. That doesn't say your life is like that. It says that is your life. It is a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. That's what our life is. The Bible asks the question and then it answers it. It's a vapor. We're not here very long. Does that mean even Methuselah, 969 years? Yes, just a vapor. For a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. So you better make your days count, young man. You may not live to be 20. And when we put you in the casket, are we going to be able to say anything good about you? What about those at school? What about those at your workplace? Are you the industrious one, or are you the lazy one? Are you the contentious one, or are you the one that's trying to get somebody saved? You're the one that's got things all over your desk about the Lord, where all these other people are trying to post all this pornography and trash and foolish stuff. You putting up scripture verses. What about Brother Dorminey? Brother Dorminey, when he goes and flies all over the place, what do they think about him? Oh, here comes the religious nut. He's going down there to try to get some tracks in. What's that place? I want to say Hernandez. I'm thinking of Honduras. He's gone down there so many times. He probably put some of the missionaries under conviction. He goes and checks them all out. He goes to a place around the States. And he says, what kind of music do you use? Amen. Just be something different. What Bible do you use? When he gets the wrong ones, you're a plague, aren't you? Oh, man, you make it say, boy, well, you better get you a Bible. I'm looking for another church. He doesn't say that, I'm sure. He's kind and gracious, not like me. But they know what he's talking about. What is your life? You faithful to your wife? You better stay faithful to your wife, or you'll be a has-been and a... And they'll forget every good thing you ever did. That's right. Just one night with some women, Brother Dorminey, and it's all over. Amen? You stick to your wife. Did you hear what I said? Stick to your wife, or they'll forget all the good you've done. They'll forget all the good you've ever done, all the souls you've ever led to Christ, all the prayers you've ever prayed, all the money you've ever given, all the work you've done on the buildings. They'll forget all of it, and they'll say, he ran off and left his wife. That's all they'll think about. Is that one dastardly, wicked deed that ruined your children's confidence in you. No, I'll just be singing that song, I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. That's what I preached on Sunday morning, and some of those church people didn't like it. I said, these preachers, get in sin against God and do bad against their wife. I said, they're through. They probably had some relatives that were in the ministry. Didn't think they were through, but I said, they were through. And I can't say you can't serve God, but you can't preach anymore. When you in the factory, you cut both of your hands off. You can't do that job anymore. It doesn't mean you can't do any job, but you can't do that job anymore. It requires a hand or two hands. And in the ministry, you've got to just keep yourself to your wife. And I'm reminded summertime's coming up. It was nice and cool and cold up in the mountains in Chickamauga, near Chattanooga. Choo-choo place. What's that mountain up there? Lookout Mountain. Never saw so many beautiful mountains in all my life. But it was cooler up there. And I came back and I went to the bank and Albertsons and I had to go like this today. One girl, she was dressed like that, and Albert says, I almost went up to her and pray out next time. I fell and said, just get some clothes on, girl. It's a shame to look like that. All I could think about is I'm going to preach on that tonight. Now I'm here, I'm preaching on it. Amen? I'm telling you, it'd be a shame you not have enough clothes on. Just let them call you old fuddy-duddy. At least you're not luring some man into sin. When they come to church, they can think about God instead of your naked body. Thank God you're covered up. Thank God I preach so strongly. You that run the bus ministry, you tell those girls to cover up. I said, you tell them to cover up. Get them some clothes. Or tell them just stay home. I said, or tell them to stay home. Say amen to that one too. If they can't dress right, they don't need to come to God's house and lure some fellow off. And some of those girls are plain big girls, amen? They need to dress and look. They need to know, if you don't teach them anything, I'll teach them how to dress when they come to the house of God. That's part of our training too. It's not come as you are at Tabernacle. It's come as God wants you to come. And you need to come with the right attitude as well as the right dress. And I'm telling you, if they act up enough and they start ruining it for all the other kids in the class, you just don't take any longer than you have to. Just send them home with somebody that's responsible. Amen. Don't send any girl with any guy now. You know what I'm talking about? Use wisdom. Find some woman here and just take them home and tell them they're not coming for 3 or 4 more weeks until they learn how to behave, because they're going to ruin it for all the other little children who want to learn about Jesus. Amen. Every year we have to take a couple of them home. Just take them home. And listen, if they're going to hurt others, then they don't need to be in the class. And they sure don't need to be in the class for week after week after week. Destroying it for our own kids. Amen? People say, oh, you don't love bus kids. I'll tell you, my Heavenly Father's upset if there's a little boy or girl wants to learn about Jesus and another one doesn't want to learn about Jesus, acting like a monkey, idiot, fool who's been up all night and got rigor mortis in the eyes from watching every bunch of junk all night long. Some of these kids, you can't help them. God can't help them until you get that filth out of their minds and get them to get serious about God. And if you don't pray for those kids, why should you expect them to behave anyhow? So concerned about them, do you go by and see their parents and try to win their parents to Christ? When they misbehave, do you go to the house and say, Johnny's acting like a devil in class and causing trouble for everyone else? Did you ever think about the fact that you and your son need to get saved? Or you're going to hell where everybody misbehaves in hell? They don't know how to behave in hell. They're too busy asking for water and crying for mercy. And weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. Everything's confused in hell. For everything about the devil is confusing. Hell's the most confusing place you've ever seen. Heard about it. Everything in heaven's so peaceful. Talk about peaceful valley. Glory be to God. Mount Zion. Oh my, I didn't even get over that. I'll deal with that on Sunday. I'll deal with that on Sunday. I'm going to close it out instead of going on. I already thought about this. Psalm 100 and Psalm 101 talks about how we ought to, what is your life? It ought to be a life of singing. Have you lost your song? It ought to be a life of praise. And then it says in those Psalms, a life of thanksgiving. What is your life? When people think about you, what do they think about? Say, Preacher Harvey, when they think about you, they think about somebody that gets up and rants and raves, and that's more than some other people do. Right. If they had something to rant and rave about, they have nothing to say about anything. They're so placid. I don't see anything in the Bible that says that John the Baptist was placid about anything. It was repent. Oh, you vipers, you snakes, you. You bring forth fruit. Meet for repent, or I will not baptize you. You're not ready for my Christ. You know what those drunks called the people that were singing on the street corners? Back in the old days, you called them Christers. Oh, those are those Christers. That's me. That's when they used to have street meetings. And old drunks would hear their mother's songs on the street, sung by the people, or hear those scripture verses quoted that they learned at mother's knee when they went to church. You see, people in the last generation went to church. They might as well, if there was nothing open on Sunday, nothing else to do. Might as well go to church. None of the stores are open. Why? Well, there's no place to go. Nothing's open in Germany on Sunday. Well, they're more godly in that fashion than we are. Is that the results of the Reformation? I don't know. But I know that our country is going down. I saw a sign, God bless America. And I thought I may preach on that on Sunday. God will bless America and has blessed America. But our country is going down, friends. When you go away from God, you're going down. When you sanction perverts, you're going down. When you allow abortions, you're going down. When you don't want to have nice big families, you're going down. When people are more fond of dogs and cats and beasts than children, we're going down. People need tranquilizers. Read your Bible. It'll bring great tranquility. Well, we'll deal with those others. What is your life, friends? It's even a vapor. So what thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What is your life? I said, what is your life? God's asking you, what is your life? Is it a life of selfishness or selflessness? That's what I got on along with adultery and fornication, is selfishness. People that want other people's wives, they're selfish. And wicked! And young men that want to go around and mess up all these young girls around them, they are wicked! And I'll get as upset with them as I want to be! God hates that sin. To try to take the purity away from some young girl. I'll tell you, God hates that sin. And wish you hated that sin more. When these people start talking foolishly in the grocery stores, why don't you say like my wife so often says, now just wait a minute! I have a Bible! One stupid woman said, yeah, I should have ditched my husband a long time ago. My wife broke in and said, boy, you sure do need help. Don't honor your husband any more than that. Speak up and out. We speak up and out about everything else. Take them to task. Get your spiritual boxing gloves on. Amen. Not real. I'm spiritual. I said that's with your mouth. Amen. I mean, just get into a fight spiritually. So you're going to burn in hell with your filthy mouth. And then watch the others around. Where did she come from? Or where did he come from? Not that doesn't matter. Where are you going? is what counts. Amen? Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible where he says, and then you'll know that a prophet's come by. Amen? They may not know much, but they'll know God's man's come by. God's woman's come by. Amen? I tell you what, when they're bringing that ark in, and I need to close here. Such good audience tonight. Say, are you tired? No, I feel great. I feel like going another hour. When David came in and they were what? They had the ark on a golden new cart. New cart religion. And then Uzzah goes up to steady the ark with Ohio and Uzzah, and he falls dead. God just smacked him dead. And David says, stop the music! God is angry. I think David said, God's going to kill us all if we're not careful. We just better find out what we're doing wrong. I tell you, David at least was in touch with God. Enough to know something wasn't right. And God got in a killing mood. And they were all dancing before the ark, and it was a glorious thing. But he says, stop the music! And then they looked to the book. And when they took a look at the book, they saw that the ark was to be on the shoulders of the priests and not on the Philistines' golden cart. If it was pure gold, all of it, it wasn't pleasing to God. And then they brought it in the second time, and when they brought it in the second time, everything was all right. Amen? You better do things God's way for God's glory. All these churches, they're taking the name Baptist off. We're the fellowship of love. I need to close with this little thing. I read the little anecdotes that I read from the other day. You know what it said? Here's what it said. A man, when he was a young preacher, Dr. Kennedy. And when he was a young preacher, he said some very decent... I read this to my wife just before I came. A very aged old man came to him. He was one of these circuit riders, and he was in the circuit, and he was studying the Bible and praying, seeking his message, and an older man came and said, Pastor, we've heard so much about the wrath of God, I think we need to really hear about the love of God. It's just a suggestion, sir. He wasn't gone but a few minutes, and another very astute man, very wise man came in, just like the other one, and he didn't know the other one had been there. And he said, Preacher, I think we really need to preach on the wrath of the law. The wrath of the law. Because we're hearing too much about the love of God at the expense of the wrath of God. And he didn't make any comment except to say this. This was at the early part of his ministry, and he said, these men were both good men, but he said, I think what I need to do is just obey what God wants me to give. And not what the people want at all. Whether it be the love of God or the wrath from the law of God. Just preach what God wants preached. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, bless us. Help us, Lord, in these days. When people are thinking about everything but thy precious holy word, they don't consider what they dress, how they act, what they say. Seems like there's such little bit of fear of God in the hearts of so many people. People are filled with foolishness and lightness. May we be serious-minded, realizing it's hell or heaven. Our Father, may we be careful as we think of that first psalm, and we didn't get into it at all, Lord. The 100th psalm, I mean, and the 101st psalm. How we're to even stay away from those that are the froward man and those that are involved with wickedness and evil. Help us, Lord, to have a song in our hearts, even praise unto thee. May we think on lovely things. May we go about doing good. May we be like John Wesley, out of breath after souls. May we be part of the holy club. or the holy group, or the holy church. Help us, Lord, in these days. Now, with their heads bowed and eyes closed, is there one here? You say, I need to be saved. Pray for me. Is there one? Pray for me. I need to be saved. That's my greatest need. That's a great need in our churches. People, our churches are full of young people that are not saved. God bless. Yes. Any others? I need to be saved. Yes. God bless you. Keep your hearts tender, you little ones. Anyone else? I need to be saved and know it. I need to be sure about it. Pray for me. Anyone here, you say, I'm a Christian, but I need prayer as a Christian. I'm sure I'm saved. I need prayer as a Christian. Yes, just hands everywhere. To God be the glory. Father, help us. We do need prayer. We need help. We pray for these little ones that they'd soon be saved. Have thy way, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' all-powerful and glorious name, and for his sake and glory only, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.